Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of The Peaceful Planet. This is your show host, Marcia McMahon, and we have a wonderful guest this evening with us, Heidi Bright, who has recovered from stage 4 cancer, and she's going to share her tips with us in a few minutes after we run through the announcements and a meditation. And then she will be going through all kinds of, she'll be reliving her cancer journey, but both of us have been through stage 4, and we are cancer-free and living very well today. And for all of you out there that know of someone that is struggling with cancer or needs help with cancer, this is the show to tune into. And, of course, there'll be a recording in the archives, too. But if you have questions tonight for Heidi or myself concerning her material, you can call 888-627-6008. So anyway, you were listening to the music of The Peaceful Planet as created by Robert Murray, the late Robert Murray. And we are grateful to James Murray, his son, and to the inspiration from John Lennon and George Harrison from the other side, and their website is thestarsstillshine.com. We were listening to the Peaceful Planet Mix with the emphasis on world peace, which couldn't be more important right now, but part of world peace is inner healing and spiritual healing and physical healing and inner wellness, and so we feature a lot of wellness shows. I have a whole list of long guests of people that have overcome cancer in various ways, and they have all different tips to share. So tonight, we bring forth a very special person, Heidi Bright, and she's going to share about her cancer journey and having had stage 4 and made a miraculous and complete recovery. And then she will be sharing some of her meditation techniques. And she had a very rare type of cancer, mine was common, but it was rare how it came about. So not very many people survive a brain tumor, and I did. So we're both fighters, and we're looking forward to hearing Heidi's secrets tonight on how she overcame. And also, just the presence of God is very much felt in Heidi's book, and this evening, I'm feeling it all day. It's a feeling of grace and healing as we move through this beautiful discussion that we're about to have with Heidi. So, Heidi, thank you for adding your prayers to this evening's show. I can feel them. Now, I'm going to read an inspirational message, but before I do, I'm not doing angel readings tonight for any of you listeners out there, and I have a few workshops coming up, and I want to make you aware of them. And so the first thing is next Sunday from about 12 to 4 p.m., I will be hosting a Magdalene Reiki retreat at my house, and I'm in the central Illinois area of Springfield, between Springfield and St. Louis in Taylorville. And I don't give out my address on air, but if you are interested in attending, you can email me at MARCIADI, as in Diana, 2002 at Yahoo, if you would like to attend and you're just, you're into Reiki or you're into interested in Mary Magdalene or Mother Mary and their messages. And that will be, all-day workshop featuring my new book, which is titled Mary Magdalene Speaks on the Holy Grail, the Holy Bloodline, and the Divine Feminine. And that is not published yet, but it is in a more complete form, and I have all new messages. And then we will do some angelic Reiki, and we will do a Reiki share with one another and have a light supper. And it'll be a pleasant thing for all of you listeners who do Reiki or who want to participate or are attuned. And newcomers are welcome as well. There's a $20 donation. And then I have another workshop coming up in Indianapolis, and that's at the New Age People Shop from 12 to 4. And that is at 1484 West 86th Street in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it's, I guess it's on the north end of Indiana. And it's a big shop. It's doing very well. And I will have my books and angel art there, and I'll be giving a workshop on angels and masters and how to connect in prayer to them with a guided meditation, and I will have angelic art, and then I will have interesting tidbits and stories about each angel and what they stand for, and then a lot of the ascended masters that I work with and various experiences that people have experienced with various ascended masters like Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, or lesser-known ascended masters, the Eastern masters, Yogananda, and so on. So I will have some highlighted messages from them as well at the workshop. So if you want to attend, the number to call is 317-228-9411, and that's New Age People, and you can look it up. Now, I recommend, if you're tuning into the show for the first time, that you check out the show page, because that has Heidi's beautiful picture on it, and she looks glowingly healthy. And there is a bio there, and then she has a website called Thriver Soup. And so I think I mentioned both of my events, and I would like to highlight a beautiful prayer that was said throughout the ages, but you probably have never heard it said in this way unless you're familiar with the ancient Aramaic. And this is the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. And so we're setting the tone for this evening's exchange with the Lord's Prayer as Jesus would have said it 2,000 years ago. And I don't speak Aramaic, but it is a translation. It's very, very different from the Lord's Prayer we say today. Of course, there's been many translations of the Bible since then. So, this is the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. O cosmic birther of all radiance and vibration, soften the ground of our being and carve out a space within us where your presence can abide. Fill us with your creativity so that we may be empowered to bear the fruit of our mission. Let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance with our desire. Endow us with the wisdom to produce and share what each being needs to grow and flourish. And untie the tangled threads of destiny that bind us as we release others from the entanglement of past mistakes. Do not let us be seduced by that which would divert us from our true purpose, but illuminate the opportunities of the present moment. For you are the ground and the fruitful vision, the birth power and the fulfillment. And all is gathered and made whole once again. And so that is the original words of Jesus from the translation. and I just love it because it has a totally different feeling. So now I'm going to turn to Heidi. And how are you this evening, Heidi? Are you with us? Can you hear me? I'm not hearing anyone. I seem to have cut out. Are
you're
we there?
Good. Yes, you're good.
Is Heidi with us? I don't hear Heidi.
Heidi?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. I was just going to introduce you, Heidi. So Heidi's website is at thriversoup.com. And Heidi Bright had an aggressive end-stage cancer, and she's a survivor, and she knows the terror and powerlessness of a difficult diagnosis. And from there, I cannot make out the print, so you're going to have to fill us all in on just your bio and a brief background.
Well, I did have the highly aggressive end-stage cancer. I was diagnosed in 2009, and I did a lot of inner healing work and ended up in radical remission. And I can go into more detail if you'd like. And in 2014,
yeah, emphasize that you've written a beautiful book, and it is called, Thriver Soup, A Feast for Living and Conscious for living consciously during the cancer journey. And then she's remained cancer-free, and you've won a couple of prizes, if you could go over that in your bio.
I received the 2014 Voices of Women Award for Outstanding Accomplishment in Personal Transformation. It's a very unusual award. There have only been two given. And I received the 2017 Champion in Cancer Care Award and Cancer Family Care Unsung Hero Award.
Yes, great. And so you're the author of other books as well, and you also have a Masters of a Divinity, correct?
Yes, the first book I wrote is called Hidden Voices, Biblical Women and Our Christian Heritage, and that was 6 years of research into the women in the Bible. And then I have a book called Keeping Sabbath Daily Life, about keeping Sabbath every day of the week. And then the third traditionally published book is Thriver Soup. That was published in 2015.
And they're not all published with the same publisher?
No, they all have different publishers.
I see. So you have different websites, I presume, then, on the different books that you've written.
HeidiBright.com is where I have the other two traditionally published books.
Oh, I see. Good. I'll look those up. That sounds very interesting and inspirational. So did you get your MDiv before you had the cancer journey?
Yes, I earned that in 1991.
Oh, good. Well, that's beautiful. Where did you go to school for that, Heidi?
I went to Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was a five-year program, 96 graduate hours, and I had to learn Hebrew and Greek. I learned a lot.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great, because that's where they do the biblical scholarship and everything.
Yes, yes.
Good for you. So
that gave me the tools for researching.
Pardon me?
That gave me the tools for researching about women in the Bible, and that's how Hidden Voices got written.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I'll have to look at that book, too. I'm glad you mentioned it. But your book itself is full of a lot of spiritual wisdom and a lot of quotes from the Bible. And I'm sure your faith played into the cancer journey, as mine did. And it's very important to have faith, I think, in guides and angels and in God, in Christ, whatever you want, you know, whoever you resonate with as you go through the cancer journey, because it's very dark and kind of a labyrinth of unexpected twists and turns and disappointments and life and death experience, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And you don't know if you're ever going to come out on this side. when it's over.
Yeah, yeah. So I picked up your book today, and I loved the cover. You know, I'm an artist, and I love butterflies. And right now I've got a beautiful garden full of zinnias, and the butterflies were out just wildly today. And then I got your book with the butterflies. Mm. So I have to say that, you know, that's a perfect metaphor for the transformation that you seem to have gone through between, you know, all that you transformed coming out of that stage four ugly cancer that you had, and then transforming your inner world with symbols and you know, the theological quotations that you used richly in your journey. But, you know, in retrospect, it looks like a beautiful masterpiece of a synthesis, but during the experience, it's a whole different thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
But
when I got, when I received the 2014 Voices of Women Award, a woman there heard my story. She'd never met me before. I told my story during the event, and she went home and painted this image.
Oh.
She had never met
so
me before.
So that's your butterfly, then?
Yes, that's my story in an eggshell. See the eggshell?
I got to look at that again, because I had opened to different quotations in the book, but, you know, I paint them too. But I love the human being, the little fairy woman inside the butterfly coming out of the shell. So that's all you.
Yes.
That's a self-portrait.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wonderful work. You're very artistically gifted.
I didn't paint it. Margaret Klein and her husband Keith Klein painted it.
Oh, okay. So you thought of it and they put it into form for you. Gotcha. Because you were referencing doing art throughout the book. Yes.
Yeah, I am not an artist like that. No way. But Margaret Klein heard me tell my story, and then she went home and painted this image with her husband. And
oh,
I
really?
Did not know her before she heard my story. I did not know she went home to paint it. She just presented it to me one day with a mutual friend.
And that was a gift.
Yes.
And then you used it for the cover of your book. My.
I
so
asked
you
for
must
permission.
Have
yes.
been given a gift of words, which I take it you have, because I've read through your book, and, you know, you cleverly phrase things. Chemotherapy is chemosabi, and different witticisms, you know, are peppered through the book, which I think it makes an enjoyable read.
Thank you.
So, in your faith journey, was there a turning point where you knew that you were done with it? Because there was for me. I just wanted to ask that question.
Where I knew I was done with the cancer?
Yeah.
I had a 2.5-inch tumor growing next to my heart on my pulmonary vein, and had it taken out. And at my post-op appointment, the nurse practitioner said, "You need to get back on chemo." This is after 2 years of chemo. And I said, "There's no more chemo. I have a very rare, highly aggressive cancer. There's nothing more that they can offer me." And she said, "Then you need to go get your affairs in order." So she sent me home to die. And after she did that, I was depressed for several days afterward, of course. And then I decided I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing for 2 years, which is all the integrative therapies that I talk about in my book. And then I had this dream that I was on a train fighting Voldemort from the Harry Potter book series. And we were both exhausted, but we ended up tumbling out of the train off a bridge and down in some area. And we still fought. And then these two dwarves dressed in red came and pushed Voldemort's head down into a puddle of water, and he drowned. And at that point, I thought this could very well be the healing dream that I need, because cancer is referred to as a demon.
And it is one, too.
Yes. And my next scan was clean, and I've had 7 years of clean scans ever since.
Mm-hmm. That's about the same amount of time I've had it be clean for me. Good for you.
Oh,
so then
great.
Your battle wasn't over when you had the new diagnosis. After 2 years of chemotherapy, then you had this 2.5-inch tumor that was close to your heart. So then what happened?
Well, at that point, I had spent 2 years changing my attitudes and changing my behaviors and doing all kinds of healing work, doing all kinds of spiritual work, and I just kept on doing that. And if I hadn't been doing all that stuff for 2 years, and if I hadn't been doing all the conventional treatments for 2 years, I'm sure I would have died. But I think the combination of all those integrative therapies along with conventional treatment and then that surgery, that turned the corner for me.
So with the surgery, they went in close to that heart and that other vein or artery, and they got that out successfully?
They got it out. Now, did they have clean margins? I don't know. It was sitting on the pulmonary vein, so probably not good clear margins.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty hard to do, but I had a great surgeon.
Mm. So that's good news. And then when did you get your good news that it had gone away?
Well, it was about 6 weeks later when I had my next scan, and it was clean.
Mm.
And everybody was shocked. Because it had been relentless up until that time. It had just, we'd do chemo, it would come back. We would do surgery, it would come back. We'd do chemo, it would come back. I mean, it was just relentless. And when it stopped coming back, my friends said to me, you have got to take all that research you did and all the things you tried and put it together in a book to provide a toolbox for other people who are going through cancer.
Yeah.
And that's how my book, Thriver Soup, was born. And it has over 250 healing solutions. It's a bestseller. And it's endorsed by doctors and nurses, including a nurse that says that Thriver Soup saved her life.
Hmm.
So it saved not only mine, but other
people.
That's
a powerful testament to your determination to live, Heidi. And
thank you.
I think I had a determination to live, too, and I do only all alternative things now, but I did traditional things at one time. And I went through, the chemotherapy, and then I had the surgery, and then I had some radiation, but I didn't need much because they scanned me and they didn't find anything, but they didn't scan above the head, so I had a large brain tumor growing. It was terrible. But it took out my hand, and they didn't bother scanning me to find what was causing my hand to grow numb and limp and lame. So I'm permanently disabled as a result of the medical error. But, I wasn't about to let them radiate my brain. So did you have radiation? Because I didn't get to that part in the book.
No, I did not. The radiation is almost useless with sarcoma.
I see. So you had a sarcoma of the uterus. I thought sarcoma was a bone type of cancer. Am I mistaken?
You're correct. It's a connective tissue cancer.
I see.
Anything that's a connective tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was connective tissue on the uterus. It wasn't regular uterine carcinoma.
So did you have to have a full hysterectomy or just get the tumor out where it was?
It was the size, I think they said, of a soccer ball when they took it out, because I had been told I had benign fibroids.
Uh-huh.
So I was waiting for menopause for them to go down, and they just kept growing and growing and growing. When they took it out, they took my cervix, my uterus, my fallopian tubes, my ovaries, and 6 inches of intestine, and I'm lucky to still have my bladder. It was a 9-hour surgery. They expected my lungs to be... They expected my lungs to be full of tumors, and there was one.
So it is.
And I think that's because
undiagnosed for all this time. And did you have pain? Yeah. Is that how you discovered it? Was it painful?
It was. It was more pressure than pain. But it was only for a few months because it grew very rapidly.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any idea what caused this to happen to you?
Well, I have theories, but I don't really know for sure.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you about your alternative spiritual treatments and some of the holistic things that you recommend. I did different things, but both of us did Reiki, and I also noticed that you had gone to Grailville for a retreat, and I'm a big fan of Grailville. I've been there 30-some years ago, maybe 40 more like now. I'm telling my age on air. When I was teaching, I just love the place. And you live nearby Grailville?
Yes, yes, I do. And I go there every week for my vegetables, too.
Really? They have a vegetable soup?
Yeah, it's a
soup?
Wonderful place.
Yeah.
Well, they have a community-supported ag program there.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I went when it was sort of on the verge of still thriving, and there were still people living that were members of the Grail. And then that was, you know, when I was a young teacher to a retreat, a poetry retreat, and then they had a women minister administering communion. That was the first for me. That was an Episcopal minister, priest, whatever.
Wonderful.
And then, I was teaching in a Catholic school, but it was very lovely. And then I went there a few other times on my own, just seeking inner peace. I just love the place. So you went there right before your surgery, as I understand it, right?
Yes, I was there for a week or 10 days, just to be silent and rest and get ready for the surgery.
You look pretty vibrant in the picture today, Heidi. To look at you.
Thank you.
Do you have normal function of everything? Are there parts that got damaged from surgery or from chemo, or can you speak to that?
There are some minor things. I still sometimes have difficulty with my thinking processes, the chemo brain, but I've been taking water hyssop, and that seems to be helping more than anything else. It's an herb that you can get.
It's called what?
Other than that, water hyssop. H-Y-S-S-O-P.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of hyssop.
I learned about that after my book got published.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I noticed you were recommending watercress on your website. You know, you can't get watercress, I don't think, around here. But they have it all over in England.
Yeah.
And I love it. But are you a vegan too? I didn't get to every speck of your book because I just got it in the mail today. But I was wondering if you had changed your diet.
I went vegetarian for a while, but my problem with being vegan and vegetarian is I cannot eat dairy or wheat in this country, and that's a large part of those diets. At least the dairy is for the vegetarian. So that just limits me way too much. And I'm okay with eating meat, but I'm very careful what I eat. I buy pasture-raised meats and organic anything else or wild-caught. And I seem to be doing fine with that. But I eat tons of produce.
Yeah, I eat all vegetarian, vegan diet. And I do splurge over with cheese. That's my big downfall. But I'm convinced that the vegan diet heals cancer. And I've met so many people that have healed cancer that way. So
that's
you know,
wonderful.
it really works for me, but it causes a few side effects like anemia and muscle weakness and things. So you have to be careful of getting enough protein from plants, and I'm a big lover of, you know, the vegan burgers, and they have so many varieties that taste like real meat. And mostly they're healthy. You have to check the ingredients, though. But they do contain some soy and some wheat, usually, but not always. And some are just made of chickpea, and you can do wonderful. I've taught myself all these wonderful recipes, and I work with other women that have had breast cancer, or other men if they want to, and help them learn the vegan diet. Some people just have no interest in changing their diet, though, but they know they need to eat healthier and more vegetables, which at least if they go away with that, that's a powerful thing because it cleanses the system, you know, gets out the toxins. And especially if you've been through a lot of chemo, you really have a lot of toxicity in there for a long time, you know. Do you do juice too? Do the juicing with the carrots and celery and things like that?
I used to juice, but then I realized that all that wonderful fiber was getting not used. So I just use a Vitamix, and I usually have a quart of green smoothie every day.
Mm-hmm. That's good too. I did juice for many years, and I still buy organic carrot juice, but I have trouble using my hands, so doing the juicer is not an option unless hired help to come in and help me. And I haven't been able to find anybody yet that knows how to juice, but I think I may have a lead on somebody that will be able to do it for me. You know, that's
it's a lot of work
for myself. But then cleaning it, I can't get it apart. Now back to you. One of the quotes in your book, I don't know if you'd be able to find it or not, but it was about the butterfly. And, you know, it was just really beautiful coming out of your chrysalis. But I liked that, and I also wanted to ask you if your therapist that you worked with was Jungian or at Freudian, because it seems like you were referencing a lot of very graphic dreams there.
I have... I went to see a Jungian dream analyst for several years back in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. and I had been reading information about dreams, and I'm in a dream group, a Jungian dream group. Mm-hmm. But my therapist taught me the map of emotions, and that's what I talk about in my book. I think that was a really critical part of my healing journey, was learning how to manage my emotions in a healthy way. And that is, when we experience an emotion like anger or fear, our brains dump chemicals into our bloodstreams. And those chemicals in the bloodstream are what we feel when we have an emotion, like heat in the head, clenched fists, butterflies in the stomach. That kind of thing is the chemical. And in 90 seconds, that chemical is flushed out of the body. Flushed out of the bloodstream. And at that point, we have a choice. Are we going to keep thinking about what's making us angry or afraid and trigger that chemical dump again? Or are we going to shift thinking to something else? And I learned how to just sit with my emotions as they happened and not think about them. And that enabled me to no longer repress and no longer be overwhelmed by my emotions. And after those 90 seconds, I could make a choice. And sometimes my choice was to think again about the triggering event and have to go through that whole process again. Sometimes I would do that for an hour. But then I would be free of it, and I wouldn't have to think about it anymore and could go about my day and be well. That was a very key part of my healing. And mm-hmm. I explain how to do that for different emotions in the book Thriver Soup. I have a whole section called Mapping the Emotions, which is the process that I learned. It's a really good healing practice for anybody, no matter what's going on in their life.
Hmm. That sounds like something I should look at, you know, because I really attributed my cancer mainly to estrogen hormones that I had been given, because I had told the doctor at the beginning, well, you know, I don't want to take this hormone because it might give me cancer, and I was using it for therapeutic reasons to counteract serious seizures, and he didn't give me medicine. He gave me hormones, and that's what caused it.
Oh.
So it was a really hard situation for me, and, you know, I'm an angelic intuitive, so I asked Archangel Michael, should I take this? And he said, well, you can take it, but you're going to have to check for breast tumors. And I wrote that in my journal, that I thought, well, that doesn't sound too good. But then I thought, well, I already have dense breasts, so he didn't mean cancer or anything. He just meant fibroids. So then I had this fibroid that went on and on and on. It get bigger and bigger,
Just
like they told you. Like they think it's fibroid, and then it's not a fibroid. And they can't tell from ultrasound what's a fibroid and what's not, you know. They can't tell.
Nope.
So, you know, I wonder about... I later asked my inner guidance system if there was something that had triggered it in my past. Was there some thing that I could locate? And I was told it was anger. And I thought, well, I thought I expressed my anger. You know, I don't like anger. That's one of the things I don't like at all. But, you know, I did express anger. So I thought, well, maybe that's, you know, maybe I could benefit from looking at that part of the book, because I think anger feeds cancer. I think other emotions that, like victimization, also feed cancer, you know. But yeah. I don't know that it's completely, strictly just all emotional, nor is it all mental, nor is it all from one traumatic event. But some people like to think that, you know.
I approach the cancer from every angle, because I was stage 4, and if I left something out, it could be the one thing I needed. So I just worked every angle.
That's what I really respect about you, and that's exactly what I did too. I tried everything because I was dying to get rid of it, and if I didn't get rid of it, I would be dying, you know? And so... It's kind of like you have to face off death, which is a really weird thing because, you know, everyone will meet their time sometime, but I didn't sense that it was my time. And therefore, I became very warrior-like in my approach to cancer. And I think you are a cancer warrior too, are you not?
I am, yes. And it's interesting that you decided, because you thought you had a lease on life, that you went ahead and fought. And for me, they expected me to die in a couple of months. But when I was diagnosed, I told everybody, do not give me a prognosis because I don't want to fulfill it. And if I had known that I only had a couple of months, I would have just laid down and died.
Mm.
But because I wasn't going to pay attention to that stuff, I decided I was going to do everything I could to survive. That's what I did.
So you really worked at it, and you did Reiki, and you still go to a Reiki practitioner. Is that correct?
Well, I do it on myself, and once a month I go to a healing practice.
Oh, and is that Reiki, or is that just a group healing?
They call it healing hands, but it's basically Reiki. I think they're all very similar. It's the same basic idea. They're using their hands to move energy around the body and in the body.
Yeah. Isn't it wonderful? I just love Reiki. I took Reiki when I was, I had not been diagnosed yet. And I had a message from Spirit, which is my gift. You know, I get messages from various ascended masters. And I was told by Dr. Yusui, the founder of Reiki, that I would be completely transformed by Reiki the day I signed up.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, that's got to be meant to be. Little did I know, at the time that I took Reiki, I already had stage 3 or 4 cancer. and it still went undiagnosed for 2 more years. So I got to practice for 2 years and continue using. It doesn't heal cancer, but once you're going through therapy, it's very useful for chemotherapy particularly. It's very helpful to have people laying warm hands on you when you're sitting there freezing in the chemo room with the drip going. And, you know, I had tapes, too. I do hypnosis. And at the same time I decided to become a Reiki master, I decided to get certified in hypnosis. Why did these things come along? I just wanted to serve others. I wanted to do something other than teach full-time at the university. And so, you know, it ended up that I used the hypnosis tapes that I made for myself while I was going through chemo. So I would summon my various guides and angels and imagine things like what you did, create a visualization, imagining it working for you, all of that, you know, destroying the cancer cells and all that. I loved your creative visualizations. They were so magnificently written.
Thank you. They're on my website.
Yes. You can tell us your website.
It's thriversoup.com, thriversoup.com. And there's a page called Meditations. And on there you can hear the introduction to the guided visualization. There's one for called a conversation with dis-ease, and that's for any unhappy cells in the body. And I suggest during the visualization that people go to their third eye with a guide, and then the third eye travels in the body to the place of dis-ease so you can have a conversation with the cells. There was a woman who listened to this guided visualization who had shoulder pain, and when she got done, she realized that she was carrying too many responsibilities. She was shouldering too much, and she had her solution. So that's what it is. Then the other guided visualization is almost exactly the same, except that it's specific to active cancer tumors. So you can talk to your tumor with this CD. Mm-hmm. I developed it because it's what I wanted to have when I was going through chemo, and I didn't have it, and I couldn't find it. So when I got done, I worked with some meditation practitioners, and Sunflower is the musician, and she's got her CD available. And it was that we worked together and created it.
So I watched
anybody
you
can get a copy.
On your website, do a guided meditation. And it was very quick. It was like 5 minutes. And I wondered if we had time this evening if you would want to do that guided meditation for our audience. Because whatever you may not have cancer, but you may get something out of this guided meditation.
Sure.
Good.
I did it during my talk at the Annie Appleseed Conference down in West Palm Beach, Florida. I just had a 45-minute time slot, so I gave my talk, and I slipped in a 5-minute guided visualization, so that's what that was. So I'd be happy to start now.
Sure. Go ahead, and our listeners can tune in and become centered and
now,
become still.
Yes, I'm going to speed through this. It's normally 35 minutes, but hopefully the people who are listening have experience and can get centered very quickly, because that's what I'm going to ask you to do, is just get really centered, straight spine, palms up, and focus on your breath for a moment. And feel yourself relax all through your body as if it's filled with a warm, comforting light. And I invite you to focus on the center of your forehead above the place where your eyebrows meet. You can lift your eyes upward as if looking toward this spot. Your eyes can be closed or open, preferably closed. And with a sense of curiosity, gently bring all your awareness into your third eye and explore how that feels. Now allow yourself to experience a desire to journey with the support of a guide to the place of dis-ease in your body, and invite your guide to join you. Because you now are an eye of perception, you can safely accept your new sight and begin to travel inside your body. Ask for a sense of where you need to go to have a conversation with a distressed part of your body. You and your guide are now gently floating through your body toward the location where you might receive some answers. You're safe. Your guide is with you. If you feel you need more safety, imagine your guide surrounding your inner eye with a clear protective shield. You and your guide move closer to the area. You know when you have arrived because you see cells that do not look happy or healthy. You and your guide stand at a safe distance and look at the cells. And let it be easy, a time of exploration and learning. These cells might have a helpful message for you. Stand with your guide in front of the cells and ask them any questions you might have. For example, you might ask, "What's going on? Do you have a message for me? What do you want me to learn from you?" Listen carefully for any answers. Be patient. Sometimes it takes time for answers to come. When you feel you are ready, thank the cells for sharing this time with you. Ask your guide to help you receive, accept, and remember any messages. If you are interested and ready, this might be a good time to ask your guide any questions you might have, such as, "What did the impressions I received mean? What do you suggest I do with them? What else could be useful for me to know or to do that would help me heal?"
Okay, Heidi, that was lovely, and I hope our listening audience followed along with your meditation. I certainly did.
Thank you.
I think the first time I did it, when I saw you on the website at the Annie Appleseed conference, I got a bunch of messages that were very clear. This time I didn't, but that's because I'm thinking about the show, so I need to go back and listen to you again. I was participating, but I couldn't quite get the message, you know, because I'm thinking, what do I need to do next, you know, as we often do. But the insights will download, I'm sure. I think it's, you know, it's just a marvelous book that you put together, and There's a lot of facets to healing cancer. And one of the things I came across, and I'm sure you've probably heard of it, in healing cancer was the German medicine theory. Have you read that?
Refresh my memory, because I think I have a vague recollection of that.
Well, it's a bunch of German doctors that had a, I guess the guy had a, the doctor had a relative that got cancer, and that they could trace it to a traumatic death event in the family. And the German medicine says that all cancer is a result of a trauma that has happened either subconsciously or physically in the person's past, and that trauma tells the cells in the brain to start the cancer process. And they've been scientific about this. The Germans are very scientific, and it's an aspect of their psychology now. And then the cancer world has turned away from that. They don't buy it. But, of course, you know, the general cancer world doesn't accept half of the holistic things that you and I do either. So it's kind of, I think it's still considered fringe, but they make no claims about curing it just by going through the mental changes. But I think forgiveness has a lot to do with it, but it's the theory is the general trauma, be it long-term repetitive trauma or some other trauma, and that could be a toxic relationship too, you know. So things that happened in the childhood, anything could be considered a trauma that would cause it to manifest. And it's not a psychological disorder as much as the brain turns it on. That's what they've decided. And you've got to look at the website because it's very intriguing. I was intrigued with it, but I wasn't led to it because I didn't think that it would heal anything. I still think that you have to do various things with cancer to get it out of your system, one way or the other. You know, I also believe in the vegan diet and the juicing healing cancer in a lot of cases, and I've seen it over and over again. Do you use the essential oils at all, Heidi?
I do, a little bit, but I wasn't using them back in when I was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
I use some now.
Yeah,
about
I use quite
minute.
A few, but mainly I started out with orange oil and then lemon oil, and then I went to frankincense. But I use that for breast cancer, and I've had no recurrence since I had the brain tumor. But I believe the power of the frankincense is unequaled. But then I also use CBD oil, too, which I had a client that I was doing Reiki for, and he had a near-certain diagnosis of prostate cancer because his prostate levels went way up. And so I was just doing general Reiki, and then I mentioned the holistic concept of the CBD oil and the vegan diet, and he changed things around, and then the prostate cancer just disappeared. So he didn't have to go through anything, thankfully. I don't know. It wasn't actually manifest yet. So I guess we have our 2-minute warning or 1 minute. I couldn't hear Doug very well. So we're already at the end of the show. But thank you so much for coming on and illuminating the pathway of the dreadful disease of cancer. And I'm so delighted that you're all well. You look glowing with health. I'm so delighted that
you
found your ministry in this work, Heidi.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure
and
to talk
with you.
And
where can our listeners go to buy your book?
ThriverSoup.com.
ThriverSoup.com. And the title of the book is Thriver Soup?
Yes.
Yes. And go ahead.
And my name is Heidi Bright. If you have difficulty finding it, look for Heidi Bright, HEIDIBRIGHT.
And are your books also on Amazon, Heidi?
They are, but I prefer that people buy from authors and bookstores.
Yeah, because then you can get it signed, and it's worth more that way. So,
yes.
Excellent book. I really recommend it. I'm not through reading it, but it will be a joy to continue because it's so beautifully written. And your biblical quotes your quotes from the Eastern Scripture are just marvelous. It's a whole contemplative journey, like prayer. So bless you, Heidi, for going through that and sharing your journey with us and giving hope to so many, as I try to do it myself. It's a wonderful gift of life.
Thank you, Marcia.
Bless
you. Thank you, Marcia.
And
you too.
Keep going. Keep well. I know you will, as I know I will. Thank you for joining us, and we're going to close out with Appreciated Angels, inspired by the great John Lennon, as produced by the late Bob Murray from thestarstillshine.com. And we thank Doug and Don of BBS Radio, and we'll enjoy the music for the rest of the show. Please join us in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening, and peace be with all of you.